If you would please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. The message today is actually a topical message, but it will help you to be at 2 Timothy in chapter 2. Yesterday was Veterans Day, a day set aside in commemoration of the end of hostilities in 1918 and 1945, and observed as a legal holiday in the U.S. to honor the veterans of the armed forces. It is a time of remembrance for those who served and an opportunity to give them honor. I, for one, appreciate those who have protected the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. I respect them for their sacrifices in order to serve. I also certainly recognize that not all veterans come home from the military, and not all that do return home healthy and injury-free. So whether you have served our nation for a month or for a four-year hitch or 20 and out, thank you so much for your service. Whether you've been in the Marines, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, or Coast Guard, or the National Guard, again, thank you. But my objective today is not to utilize our time speaking about the veterans of our armed forces. Rather, I would like to address another type of veteran, one also often overlooked, the spiritual veteran. Yes, I am thinking of the Christian. As we sing, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthem raise." And of course the refrain, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before." It is my intention to speak to Christians today. For a moment or two, I will address the classification of a veteran. Then I should briefly consider the condition of a veteran, after which I will spend the majority of my time listing the character of a veteran. And at the end, I shall offer my commendation of a veteran. And so, logically enough, the title of my message today is Veterans. That's what we want to consider. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for the privilege that we can come together in your house, and thank you so much for Jesus who was crucified, buried, and risen again. And Lord, thank you for the salvation we have in him. We do ask if there's any in our midst that are lost, that they might be saved. May we who are saved be strengthened and encouraged from your word today. May we be directed unto you, and may we be instructed as to the kind of Christians that we ought to be. And we'll be sure to give you the honor and the glory and the praise, for all that is due unto you and to none other, because you're God and there is none else. Thank you again for this time. We pray your will would be done. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. I want to think about veterans today, and as promised, I want to mention just briefly about the classification of a veteran. According to Webster's Dictionary, they say that veteran is an old soldier of long service. That's part of the definition. But another part is a former member of the armed forces. And so likely you might be thinking, well, veterans are those that went to war and they served, and they served for 10 and 15 and 20 years, and they're just a veteran of war. They had much experience. That is true, but the expanded scope of that definition is that everyone who has ever served is a veteran of the armed forces. And so, take for example my father. My father enlisted into the Navy when he was a young man, but he contracted, I can't remember the disease he had, but it was a disease of the lungs. And he never did really serve, and then they honorably discharged him, but he never went overseas. But he was a man of the Navy. My dad was a veteran. And so maybe you serve a month, maybe you serve a year or 10. Anyone who has ever been a member of the armed forces is a veteran of the service. But likewise, I mention unto you that all who serve, of course, as our veterans, every Christian is a soldier. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today, you've been forgiven of your sin, you know you have a home in heaven, then you are a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a spiritual veteran. You say, but I haven't been saved very long, and other people have been saved 40, 50 years. Possibly so, but you're still a veteran if you are a child of the King, because every Christian is a soldier of God. You remember that kid's song? This came to my memory. I hadn't sung this thing in 20 years, but there was a song we used to sing in college, and it was a kid's song, and for the kids, it says, I may never march in the infantry, or ride in the cavalry, or shoot the artillery. I may never fly over land and sea, but I'm in the Lord's army. And the chorus would say, I'm in the Lord's army, yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army, yes, sir. And then it would repeat those first choruses. And how true that is, my friend. If you are saved today, I just clearly announce unto you that the classification is that you are a veteran. Okay? So figure that to be true as we continue through the message. Secondly, I want to mention that matter of the condition of a veteran. Now, we recognize when we look at veterans in our society that some actively serve longer than others. But, of course, they are still veterans. Even those who are on reserves, they're veterans, although they may not be on active duty. But when I make the spiritual application that some are on active duty or serve longer than other people, I might well want to make application of that those who follow as opposed to those who are backsliders. But that's really not the application I want to intend. Though we might say, well, a person that's backslidden in the Christian walk isn't serving very well. That would then fall under the category of how good of a soldier are you, wouldn't it? So let's bypass that consideration. I invite you to turn back to the book of Matthew. Keep a finger in 2 Timothy. I was going to just read this to you, but I've chosen to ask you to go there. Matthew chapter 20. I am coming to 2 Timothy. But when I think about this matter of some serving longer than others, it's the matter of the length of service is under consideration. Let me express it this way. Matthew chapter 20, verse 12, listen. It says, and this is the parable of the householder that went out and he hired some people in the morning, then he hired them all throughout the day, and then at the end of the day he went out at 5 o'clock and hired some people. And when it came to pay him, he paid the last first and the first last, and he paid them all equally a penny because that's what they all agreed to do. Verse 12. These that are last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as to the first. Is it not lawful for me to do with what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last, for many shall be called, but few are chosen. Let me ask you, my friend, you've been saved for 50 years. You've been serving the Lord for 50 years. You know what? You'll be rewarded for that, but you know what God will do? Those that have only been saved for a very brief time will receive equal reward. They'll receive because God judges the last first and the first last. And so you take the fellow that was saved on the cross, that one thief who cursed the Lord Jesus Christ, but then later said, Remember me as you come into your kingdom. What could he do for the Lord? What? All he had was his testimony. All he had was his salvation. He wasn't baptized. He wasn't a church member. He really didn't have much of an opportunity to do anything. But you know what? What he did was he was faithful for what he did have the time in his service. For the remaining time on the cross, that's what he had. And that's what I submit unto you today, that you don't have to be saved for 50 years to have a commendation. That's one of the things we'll notice right at the end is the commendation. And maybe you haven't been able to do what other people might be able to do. But the commendation is still there, so I think that's important to recognize. But as you go back to 2 Timothy, and I apologize for directing you first and then choosing to ask you to look into Matthew 20, but go back to 2 Timothy in chapter 2. We recognize and that truly not everybody is in active duty. Do you understand what I mean by that? Right now, I'm in active duty. I pastor, I labor, I do this, I do that, I'm in active duty. There may well come a time that I might not be able to continue the functions as a pastor of one of the Lord's churches, and so I might have to retire from the ministry. Would I be in active duty? Not in a specific sense. There's always in a supportive sense, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and you'll notice in verse 4, and this is what I think it's important for you to realize, dear Christian friend, that not everybody is what we might consider active duty. Now, in chapter 2, verse 4, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "No man that warreth," and I want to stop right there with that word warreth, because that word warreth in the original language means to perform a military duty. It is to serve as a soldier. It is to battle. Now, certainly we think soldiers go and fight, but not all soldiers fight, but they're still serving in a duty, aren't they? And so every Christian, as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, has a duty, but some are in active duty and some may not be in active duty. Let me give you an example, and I will read to you out of the book of Numbers, and I'm going to look at Numbers chapter 8. As an example, you have the Levites. Remember, the Levites were ordered to serve in the ministry for the tabernacle in the wilderness. Now listen, if you will, the Levites specifically served the tabernacle in the wilderness from age 25 till they were 50. They didn't begin the service active duty until they were 25, and then when they were 50, they retired from that duty. But then after that, what they did is they filled a support role. Listen, if you will, Numbers chapter 8, verse 23 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This is that belongeth unto the Levites. From 25 years old and upward, they shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And from the age of 50 years, they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof and shall serve no more." And you say, oh, well, they can check out. They don't have to do anything. No, listen. Verse 26, "But shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the charge and shall do no service. Thus shalt thou do unto the Levites and shall Levites touching their charge." What does that mean? I submit unto you, I'm in active service. We have some here that are not as young as others. And you know what? When you were younger, you used to do this, you used to do that, and you taught here, and you did this, and you sang in a choir, and you went on visitation, and you did things for the Lord, did you not? But now you're at the place where you can't do those things. You're not able to get out. You're not able to do like you used to do. Now you wish that you would, and you wish that you could, but you just can't, can you? And so, are you in active duty? Well, not really in a sense. You've been retired. But does that mean you don't serve the Lord at all? No, absolutely not. You have to fulfill then that supporting role. And maybe you can't do what you used to do, but I have a sneaking suspicion you can pray. You might be able to write letters or type out some emails as encouragement. You might minister to missionaries, and some have knitted things and sent out to other people as missions. You see, you can't do everything that you used to do, but there's still something you can still do. Does that make sense? And so I would encourage you to recognize that the condition of a veteran is one that will continue to serve, and the length of service might vary, the type of service might vary, and you might be in active duty, you might be just in a supporting role, but that still is a matter of a soldier, and you're a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ if you're a Christian. And so you ask the Lord, "Lord, what can I do for you? How can I best serve you?" Now, before we pass on and look at the character of a veteran, there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I think it's necessary to recognize that some are better soldiers than others. And I know that when we make classifications like that, that we start to tread some dangerous ground. And so I'm not going to make that assessment for you. You've got to make your own assessment. But Paul writes to Timothy, and he says in chapter 2 and in verse 3, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." There are good soldiers, aren't there? But there are some bad soldiers, too. Do not, we talked earlier about the possibility of a backslidden Christian. Well, there's a fellow that went AWOL.
Huh?
He went away from the Lord, not serving. We would not classify them as good soldiers if they've gone AWOL. And so I just submit unto you that the soldiers are, some are better than others. They simply are. And but then I'm going to read a connected passage in this, and I think it's important to remember in Matthew chapter 25. And I'm going to read two verses, verse 14 and verse 15. And it says, "The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Here's a guy that gives these talents to his servants. And this is what the scripture says. He gave one 5 and the other 2 and to another 1. It says, "To every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey." Are all servants equally able to do as other servants? They are not. And so what we find is this in this capacity that it's expressed here that there's a difference of ability. Does that mean that they're bad soldiers? No. But the one that had the ability to handle one talent, that's what he received. He is to be faithful with that one talent. The one that received 2 talents, he's better than the one that had 1 talent in his ability, but he still only received 2 talents, and he's supposed to be faithful with the 2 talents. The fellow that had 5 talents is a little better than the other guys in his ability. But they all can be good soldiers and just be faithful to what's given to them. Correct? And so back in Matthew chapter 13, I read it, and just a quick verse reference here, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 23. When we see about the parable of the seed and the sower, it says, even where the seed falls on good ground, it says, "But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. It's just the way it is. Soldiers are going to be different. But we can be good soldiers if we're going to be faithful with that which God has given unto us to have. So there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 2, he even writes to Timothy and he says, Timothy says, "Those things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to" what? "To faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Some are not faithful. Some should not have these things committed unto them because they're not the kind of soldier they ought to be. And so the condition of the soldier varies, doesn't it? Now, certainly every one of you who named the name of Jesus Christ, recognizing that you're a Christian soldier, should automatically say in your heart, "I want to be a good soldier. I want to be as God would have me to be." And so we have the classification of a veteran. Every Christian is a veteran of the spiritual war. Second is the condition of a veteran. And the third, and this is where I'll take the remainder of my time pretty much, is the character of a veteran. We're just going to have to notice some of these verses. We're still here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And what are some characteristics of a veteran? Now, these things certainly apply to the veteran of our armed forces. But to save time, I'm not going to give you examples every time in order to do that. We'll just apply this right to the spiritual veteran, okay? And so first of all, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, Paul writes to Timothy, and if I'm going to be a good soldier, and I want to have the characteristic of a good soldier, that's going to call for commitment. 2 Timothy 2:4, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." That word entangleth means to intervene. It is to implicate or to entangle, to be involved with. No man, if he's going to be a good soldier, is going to be hindered by all these things in the life. And we already know that by the parable of the sower, which we didn't talk about, the third type of ground, but that seed that fell among the thorns and the thistles, well, it's choked by the cares and the riches of the world. If I want to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to take commitment. I got to be willing to give up some things for the service. And we see that so much in our society. You know, somehow people think that people that enlist in the service are just raking in the dough. And they just make tons of money. You can make a whole lot more in a private sector than you can in the military, unless you can really advance up into the rank. But the ground pounders and the privates, you can make more down the street in a machine shop than what these people make. And yet they'll sacrifice and they'll go in and they'll become veterans to protect our country. And it's going to take a commitment if you're going to follow in the service of the Lord. There in 2 Timothy chapter 2, secondly, it requires perseverance. 2 Timothy 2:3, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier." Is it difficult for a soldier? Absolutely it is. And, you know, I see the war movies, and when I was younger, you know, that stuff was glamorous to me, and every time I watched a war movie, I wanted to run out and to enlist. But the truth of the matter is, boy, that's tough. It's tough to be a soldier. And it's hard to be out there away from your family and putting your life at risk every day and being shot at and not having food in the cold and or the heat or whatever the conditions might be. Being a soldier, especially if you are fighting actively, is not an easy thing. And Paul writes to Timothy and he says, you need to endure hardness. And dear friend, being a Christian and following after the Lord Jesus Christ is not the easiest thing in the world. There's always a battle going on. And we want to be able to endure hardness. I read in that parable of the sower again, that second seed, where it fell just among a little bit of dirt, you know, and it grew up, and then the sun came down and it withered away because it had no root. The application there was that they made a profession, but when things got a little bit tough, they said, "Now I can't take this, I'm off." And so that's what that is. They can't endure hardness. If I want to be a good soldier, I have to have some commitment and I have to have some perseverance. And that's not only true for me, it's true for you. I want to be a good soldier for the Lord, don't you? And so the characteristics matter, involves commitment and perseverance. 2 Timothy chapter 2, right there in verse 4, I believe it also involves right desires. And it's clearly stated at the end of that text that a man doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. God's the one that saved us. God placed us in His army. We are soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ought to want to please Him, that we might be good soldiers and honoring to the one who has called us. So those are some characteristics. But go, if you would, to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 as we continue our list of characteristics. Ephesians chapter 6. I believe that the soldier ought to be properly outfitted, don't you? Well, be it. I mean, you can read about some of these battles and things all through history. They get into certain places, they don't have supplies. They don't have ammo. They don't have gasoline. And that can be a real problem, can it? And I'm glad that our soldiers in our country, they're supplied. They have what they need. They go fight. They have all the resources that's available. But if we're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and we're going to be faithful to our commitment as a soldier, we have to be properly outfitted. And what we have in Ephesians chapter 6, we have in verse 11 and the following verses. I won't read the other verses, but you understand well about the armor of God. 6:11 of Ephesians says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Put on the padding, put on the breastplate, put on the helmet, get your rifle, get your bayonet, and get your food, get your supplies, get your ammo, and you go fight for God. You put on the armor of the Lord. Put on the whole armor, and you can read down through the passage of what that armor is. We want to be properly outfitted if we're going to be good soldiers of the Lord. That's kind of the characteristic we want to have. I want to be properly outfitted, and you can read about that armor. Let's skip down to verse 12 and notice that he recognizes a soldier in his character. If he's a good soldier, he's going to recognize the true character of the battle. I find this in verse 12, and what I mean by this is our battle is a spiritual battle. It really is. Verse 12 says, you put on the whole armor, verse 11. Verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." There is a spiritual war going on. We are involved with it. Our church is involved with it. Every church of the Lord Jesus Christ is involved with it. Every Christian faces spiritual conflict. But then if you'll back up into verse 10, good character of a good soldier is his confidence will not be in his ability or in his armor, but in God. Now, we want you to have your armor. We want you to be totally ready to go out to fight. But your trust better not be in your M80 or whatever, you know, and all your weaponry. It better be in the Lord. So verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Where are we going to get this? It's all in God, isn't it? As we serve the Lord day by day, whether in active duty or in reserves or retired, we want to be prepared, and we're going to have to rely upon the Lord to do that. That's where we find our source. So you find in verse 18, at the end of his exhortation, he says, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We need to be seeking God's face. God, help me to be the kind of soldier I need to be to fight this spiritual warfare. God, I rely upon you. I rely upon you. Let me read to you about this spiritual warfare in 2 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 3 and verse 4. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Our battle is a spiritual battle. It's not a fleshly battle. So we can't go like some have around the world and say, you convert or I'll kill you. You can't get true conversions that way. It's not a fleshly battle. It's a spiritual battle. And so part of our sword is the sword of the Spirit, is part of our armor. We must take the Word of God. And so we must keep in mind that this battle is a spiritual battle. And this battle that we have must be relied upon God and God alone, for we cannot do it. I read over in Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. If God doesn't do it, it's not going to be done. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15, the prophet told him, and him speaking in the Lord's behalf to the nation of Israel, says, the battle is not yours, but God's. David, when he went out to confront Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 47, said the battle was the Lord's. David was experienced. All he had was this sling and some stones. But he wasn't depending upon his experience, and he wasn't depending upon his sling and stones. He was trusting in God. And God gave him a great victory. Our confidence must always be in the Lord for victory. It is a spiritual warfare. It is a spiritual task. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. So I talk about the matter of the characteristic of a soldier's commitment and perseverance, having the right desires, having the proper spiritual armor, and having a recognition that this is a spiritual battle and our confidence is in God and God alone. But I also would remind you that the character of a good soldier is going to be to recognize that God, who has called him, will, if I may say it this way, will have his back. Sometimes these soldiers will go out and they'll be forsaken. Sometimes the general leaves them dangling out there. And the Marine always says, we don't leave anyone behind, right? That's the call. We don't leave our brother behind. But sometimes the truth is, in military skirmishes, that some people have been left out to dry. And nobody has their back. But I am so glad in this spiritual warfare, God always has our back. God will always be there in our defense. Hebrews 13, where I've invited you to turn, it says in verse 5, 13:5, let your conversation, your lifestyle, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Why? For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a blessing that is. God will never leave me nor forsake me. I am his soldier, active duty. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. You say, but I'm retired from active duty. But he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He doesn't forsake his own. He called you to be into his service. He called you and you're a spiritual veteran. He will not forsake you. As a matter of fact, you have that precious promise way back in chapter 4 of the book of Hebrews. And in verse 16 where it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Always in this spiritual warfare, the Lord has our back. And so Paul told the Philippians, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And the characteristic of a soldier is to know that I have absolute confidence that the one who has placed me as a soldier will always be back there, will always have my back. That's encouragement. And we need that encouragement. Turn, if you would, to the book of Philippians in chapter 4. As I wind down here, Philippians chapter 4, from the characteristics A good soldier will bear in mind that he isn't alone. You're not the only one to fight. There are fellow laborers. There are fellow soldiers. In Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes and he says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." I'm not the only one serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Elijah got to the place where he says, "Well, I'm the only one left. Everybody else is forsaken, and they want to kill me." No, God says, "I've reserved 7,000 haven't bowed their knee to Baal." And sometimes we think we're all alone. We think we're the only one doing anything for the Lord, and we're the only church that's doing anything for the Lord. That's not true. We always have fellow laborers. And Paul talks about some of those fellow laborers. He mentions it earlier back in chapter 2 of Philippians in verse 25, 2:25. "I suppose it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants." Who was Epaphroditus? He was a fellow soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, a fellow soldier of Paul. We're all fellow soldiers, aren't we? If you know Jesus Christ, I'm a soldier of the Lord, you're a soldier of the Lord, and we are fellow soldiers. We're supposed to work together, not fight each other. Let's do away with this friendly fire stuff. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he said in 1 Corinthians 3:9, "We are laborers together with God." And so we must recognize as soldiers of the Lord, we're veterans, and we cannot do it alone. We need each other. And so let us labor together as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ in this place. But then I would remind you that a good soldier in his character and quality will obey the commands of his commander-in-chief. Does that make sense? In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." We will obey what our commander-in-chief has to say. I would remind you of 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. "This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous." God called us to be soldiers. This is what He wants us to do. Let us obey Him. Let us be submissive to Him. Then one other thing. Go back to Mark chapter 13. And I'll be through with the character of a veteran. Mark chapter 13. The character of a good veteran will be that he will be fulfilling the duty of a soldier. Whatever his duty is, he will fulfill it. In Mark 13, I'm going to pick it up in verse 34. It says, "The Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore." As soldiers, my friend, we've been given a commission and we need to watch. Fulfill the duty as a soldier. It's expressed this way in Luke 19, verse 13, where it says, "Occupy till I come." Paul wrote Timothy in the 1 Timothy, and he says, "That thou mightest war a good warfare." You have this obligation. You have this responsibility. Fulfill it. You say, "But I'm not in active duty anymore." No, but you're in a support role. Fulfill it. Be what God would have you to be. Nowhere can we clock out and say, "I'm no longer a Christian." We can't say that there's no obligation or responsibility laid upon us. There is. Because we're veterans of this spiritual warfare. Now then, that brings me to the commendation of a veteran. We want you to be have that good quality of a veteran. And those good characteristics. But I want to quickly mention unto you the commendation of a veteran. First of all, I want to just mention the confidence of a veteran. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, we read these words. And he says, "Now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." You know, there are some soldiers that are not serving very well. And they're distracted by the things of the world. And if the Lord should come back, they'd be ashamed at His coming. And if I'm doing the things of the world, I will be ashamed at His coming. And so I submit unto you, if we will be faithful, if we'll be true, we have confidence that we will not be ashamed. So I encourage you to be as God would have you to be, because there's no reason to be ashamed if you are being obedient. Secondly, there is the coronation. And Paul wrote to Timothy, and again, he uses this illustration, but in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, he says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." As a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coronation comes, you will receive a crown of righteousness. You say, "But I've only been saved for a week." You'll receive a crown of righteousness if you're faithful. You love his appearing. So these people say, "Well, I've been saved for 60 years, and I get the crown of rejoicing." You won't get it. No, my friend, the coronation is the same. All those that love his appearing will receive it. Remember, the first shall be last, and last shall be first. But there is a coronation to look forward to. There's also a cry that's mentioned over in Matthew chapter 25. And let me read this to you. Matthew chapter 25, and in verse 21, here's the cry that we long for, is it not? "The Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." You say, "Well, there's no benefit in me following God, being faithful in the service of the Lord. He saved me, I'm going to heaven, that's good enough." No, my friend. We want the cry, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I love seeing when these people that are in the military get awarded the Distinguished Cross and the Purple Heart and Medals of Valor. They deserve it. They deserve it. And one of these days, dear Christian friend, you faithful for the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll hear the cry, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And then lastly, I would remind you of the comrades. Is there a commendation in the fact that you're a veteran and that you have a camaraderie among the others? Well, let me make this application. In Hebrews chapter 11, we call it the Great Hall of Faith, don't we? And what you'll find when you go through there, you'll find various and sundry sizes and shapes of people, backgrounds, lengths of service, achievements, required duties, and even some who lived and some who died. Read Hebrews chapter 11. That's reflective of today. So if you read through Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about Abel and it talks about Enoch and Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. It talks about Moses and Rahab. But of course, we don't have time to list everything that's there. Even the writer made a summary in verse 32, "And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and of Samuel and of the prophets." So we have this great hall of faith, these soldiers, these veterans, and comes from a wide background and achievements and etc. And yet it comes into chapter 12, verse 1 of the book of Hebrews, and it says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience the race that is set before us." That cloud of witnesses, that hall of faith, those other veterans. Let us be faithful, because we've learned from them. Steve Green sings a song entitled, "Find Us Faithful." Part of that song says this: "We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us lined the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race, not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives." The chorus says, "Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful." My friend, be a good soldier, a faithful soldier, because there are witnesses that surround us, and we will be witnesses around others. So in closing, I submit unto you that every Christian is a soldier of Jesus Christ and is a veteran of spiritual conflict. It's true. Secondly, may we be good soldiers. Let us have the positive characteristics that we've stated here today. Three, may we serve in an active duty as long as God allows us to serve. Four, may we still serve in a support role if we're not in active duty. Five, may we be good example unto others. You see, may all who come behind us find us faithful. But then I say unto you, lastly, dear sinner, would you depart from the side of evil and choose to fight on the side of good. You're not a Christian. You're not saved. You're in the devil's camp. You're a soldier of his. You need the Savior. Would you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified, buried, risen again, and who will give eternal life to all who believe? But then as a Christian, you're his soldier. You're a veteran. So as much as you thought yesterday about the veterans of our nation, think today about our spiritual veterans. Thank you so much for your service. And I encourage you to serve well. Let's stand. Father, we commit this time to you today, and we pray that you just work in every one of our hearts and let us be true, let us be found faithful, let us be good soldiers of yours. And let us hear one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. May it be for your honor and glory. We pray for the lost that they might be saved. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Numbers 477, song number 477.